Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And He has many wonderful things to say to us, His people. He always does, and He always will. Sometimes I talk about the living plan of God. God is already in motion. He's 100% committed to all that the Father wants to do. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And He'll do it where we won't get in pride. He'll do it when we get to it, when we have His love, when we share His love towards others. It attracts Him. And He will always come. He don't resist. He never has resisted people that love Him and love His people like He does. When those kind of things are in place, that's when the Holy Spirit is active in your life, and He's drawn to you. He's drawn to you, and He will enhance everything in your life. And He will help you get on board with the best things of life. He will show you things to come. He will keep you ahead of the curve. You can't see around the curve, but He does. And I've watched people a long time. If they would just pay attention, they would see His handiwork. And they would not only just recover in life, they will avoid problems and still learn about them as if they went through them. When the Lord give you a rescue and you know it, all you have to do is ask Him, what would have happened to me if that had happened? How would I have been emotionally? How long would it have taken me to recover from that? You know, people never think about these things, but I ask the Lord questions. And the answers He give and the things that He relay, it gives you something to, it helps you to process things better. It helps you to understand people better. It puts you, you know, the Lord taught me to put myself in other people's position, look at things from their point of view. Before you criticize, people can criticize all day. It's easy to find fault. But see, like in yesterday's broadcast, it could sound like I was finding fault, but I saw realities that were holding people back, and they couldn't tell. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to relay it to people without offending them. And I still don't. But that's where the Holy Spirit come in. So what the Lord told me was get people to follow Him, and He'll do it. Everybody gets a our education systems, the schools, colleges, tech schools, everywhere, they gave people a tailor-made education program. See, our education program, it only works for people who can operate in that arena. Some people learn with a teacher teaching a class, giving them something to read, they read it and they learn. Some people can learn great that way. That's good. I thank God for that. But some people are more hands-on. They only learn hands-on. Some people learn by example. People learn all kind of ways because we're made in God's image. God don't just learn one way. He learns in every direction. And if you follow Him long enough, that's what will happen to you. Because you'll see what He does, and you'll do what He does, and you'll learn like He does. And you'll receive knowledge like He does. Well, somebody will say, well, God knows everything. He does. That's true. But remember, we're like Him. If you want to understand God, you have to take a closer look at Adam. Adam was in the garden. He had example. He had vision. The garden was his vision. God put him there. So if God put him there, he came from above it. He saw it from above, and then he was placed on the ground there. So if he had a visual from above, it gave him insight and vision. And you can't get too far in life without vision. Well, where did God get vision? Now, that's a good question. There were two distinct trees in the Garden of Eden. There were plenty of trees, hundreds of trees, but there were two distinct trees. One was the tree of life in the center. Well, it was there. I don't know if it was in the center. Then there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that Adam was not supposed to touch. And I think that's the one that was in the center, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I have to go back and look at it to know, but nevertheless, they were there. And it shows us that if you want to proceed forward and do greater things, you have to receive his word. You have to desire life. You can't just wish you had it. You have to want it. You have to go forward. You have to take it by force. And God put it there for you to freely eat of. But you have to go get it. And you have to take time and eat it. And receive what he's giving you. Now, life only works one way. Life has government attached. It has protocols, rules, regulations that work. It's known. It's obvious. If you walk the road of life, you don't walk the road of death. If you choose life, you reject death. Life will help you reject death. If you don't want to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, go eat the fruit off the tree of life, and it'll give you strength, stamina, and resilience and hatred against eating off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you don't want to fall, you have to put God's word in you. Jesus told the disciples, now you are clean because of my word. His word gives you everything you need. It gives you strength. It gives you counsel. It gives you what the Holy Spirit gives you. And the Holy Spirit will, based on the word of God, he'll guide you into all truth in the word of God. When you receive the word of God, you're giving the Holy Spirit something to work with. If you're too weak, you'll get might. Might will, you know, that's strength. You'll have strength and stamina and a backbone against what's wrong. And you'll obviously see that there's no reason for choosing what is wrong. And then you learn to live from the heart of God. You learn God's kind of patience, God's kind of kindness. You don't become needy. You're fulfilled in him. So if you're fulfilled in him, if you're complete in Christ, you don't need any props and crutches at all in the world. You know, a marathon athlete runner, he don't need crutches. If you give him crutches, what can he do with it? Unless he sprained his ankle, he don't need them. If he's in good health, he don't need it. You don't have to help him to his car. He can carry you to your car. You know, any athlete with muscles, they can take care of themselves. And they're supplied from within. God gave them strength. The word gives you strength from within so that you can live without. You live from the word of God. And the Lord taught me these processes. And you heal from within. Whatever's wrong, Jesus paid a high cost. If you've been wounded in life, spiritually or mentally, you know, they put a crown of thorns on his head. And you're healed. By his stripes, you're healed. By the crown they put on his head, the anguish and persecution of men, they put that crown on his head. He can supply you in your time of need, whatever it is. If you're depressed, you can fill your heart with the word. And the word will give you strength. Not only strength and stamina to do right. And most people focus on doing right. They think that's all God is about. But no, he's more than that. You'll get insight. You'll get abilities. You'll have knowledge that you didn't have before. And you'll see the darkness for what it is and how small it is. And it'll stop looking big in your eyes. And you'll be able to have the judgments of God in your heart. You'll be able to heal from within. You'll be healed in your heart. You'll be healed in your mind, which is your soul. Your body will be healed. You'll have his kind of, and you'll have not only that, but you'll have peace, which is fellowship with God. And you'll have great joy. And as you act on his word, doing his word, your joy will be full. Now, all these things were happening to me as I continued to go in God's presence and learn. I was learning beautiful things all the time. And any Christian that will happen to, they're going to desire it for everybody. Their friends, their family, their church members, their church family. And then their heart goes out to people that's in need, strangers. And I met new people all the time. So I would work on a car, and people would see that car sitting down stranded for months. Then I come over, and now it's running. Then the neighbor will call me. That's how my business worked. So somebody's cousin, their brother, their sister, their neighbor would see me working, and they had a car they wanted it fixed, and they'd tell me all about it. And they knew I was too busy. They knew they were so scared that if I left, I might not get to come back, because they knew I had a lot of business, and I did. So they would try to get me to promise that I would be there, because they knew I was the kind of person that tried to keep my word. So I met a lot of people. And, you know, I was in those days, I was focusing on taking care of my family at first. And then when I'm working on cars, I'm concentrating on how to fix this car right. But while I'm working, especially in the summertime, people would sit on their front porch and I would hear their conversations. And sometimes they'd come out to check on the car and they'd talk while I'm working. And they talk about whatever was on their heart. That's why I say that my heart goes out to people. I would hear teenager conversations. I would hear older people's conversations, husbands' conversations, wives' conversations, friends' conversations. And the happiest people I can stand flat-footed and say, I am flat-footed. I can stand flat-footed and say, the people that was the most better off were people who loved God and took their family to church. They had less problems. They didn't have to go bail people out of jail. They didn't have that worried look on their face. They knew where their children were. Their children went to college and come and finished and graduated, and they did professional careers. You know, my base customers that, you know, you see them in difference over the years. You see them grow, a whole family grow. You know, their daughter finishes college, gets married, and then you see grandchildren. You know, you see this scenario all the time. But then those that didn't live for God, and they were just people trying to make it. It's not that they were evil or sitting out to do anybody wrong. They just excused themselves from going to church and getting to know God. Well, the children had, you know, that had an impact on the children as well. And they were the kind, and drugs came out in the middle of the 80s in Alabama. It was out before in other places, but when crack came out, everything changed. And every now and then, somebody's child would get on crack. And it's like a kick in the gut to the parents. And they didn't have that. Their concentration was shot. They were thinking about their children and what they were doing. And sometimes when they go to jail, they'll be relieved. At least they can't hurt anybody. Or nobody might not, you know, their chance of survival is a little bit higher if they're in jail. Because people on crack, they do things that get themselves shot at. And then the drug wars, you know. I had to deal with all that. And when I worked on cars in certain places, you wanted to be done before it got dark. But guess what? I know for a fact, God, when I say that God is with us, we're surrounded by angels, I mean it. I live that way. I lived my life depending on my faith. And I didn't even carry a gun in those days, but I had faith. And I went, I knew how to carry, the Lord taught me all kind of things. He taught me how to carry myself with people, how to talk to drug dealers without fear. If you don't fear them, it throws them off balance. A drug dealer, they have a lot, they have hundreds of fears. They don't know who you are. They don't know if you're a policeman. They don't know if you're a detective. They don't know if you, they, in their mind, you're fixing these cars, you could be an undercover cop. Or you could be a spy. They don't know. And they're very cautious. And when you're focused on what you're doing, they don't want to rock the boat. And people that's good, upstanding citizens, they know that the courts are going to lean to their favor, and they don't want, I heard them voice it, they don't want to rock the boat. Now, I didn't know how they think. I'm looking back through over time. And the Lord would have me talking about the word. And everybody wants hope. And older drug dealers, I was able to help them get off, you know, get out of selling drugs. Younger ones were more, they were still captivated more so. And some people, their hearts smote them because they knew that they were causing a lot of problems. And their lifestyle demanded the money, and they owed other drug dealers money. And walking away was going to be complicated. And I would have to explain, you know, I didn't get to talk to them as often as I wanted to, but I would explain things as God helped me to do it. But nevertheless, when you walk according to God's word, you will be equipped. You will be thoroughly equipped to do His will. It's not about what you can't just go into a school and learn an education and you're prepared for life. You get the foundations. You know, when I went to church and learned the word, when I went to the college at church and learned the word, they gave me a foundation to build on. But the Holy Spirit is the one who trained me how to deal with people and how they think and why. And He taught me how to carry myself around people that were opposite. And you have to do things in a godly way. And people respect that. Even if they don't like it, they'll respect it. But when I saw the needs of people, it made me hungry to be able to help solve problems and show them, relate to them how to come out of darkness. And I didn't know how to do it. And the Lord gave me those writings that I write, Living Letter Ministries, and that helped. They were icebreakers, and it would get people talking, and then the Holy Spirit would give me words to say. Now, in yesterday's broadcast called Judging Wisely, I said, Lord, was I harsh yesterday? I didn't mean to be. He said, people are adjusted to you. It's okay. But the heart of God, I know I've seen God do this. He loves people so much. And He hates the darkness that's destroying them. And He loves His people so much that sometimes when He speaks, it will scare you. Because He speaks things, He say things just like it is. One time He said that pastors run churches like a business. He was angry. But I know for a fact that He loved all His people. But He does get angry at things. And things that cause people to go off track. He don't like that. But He still loves the person. He know they don't understand. The problem is that they're not learning. They don't mean any harm. And I saw His frustration. And sometimes the love of God will rebuke you. And you have to deal with the rebuke. And if you survive that, you can grow. And he would say things. He wasn't rebuking me, but He was showing me His heart. And the way He said it and the way He described things and the problems it was causing, I saw it. But I know for a fact He loved all of His people. He deeply cared about them. And then when He relate to them, He does it in love. That just because He relate to you in love don't mean He's not angry about something. let's not get it twisted. Darkness causes anger for God. God don't like it. But he knows how he judges wisely. He judges perfectly. And I take my cues from him. And I listen and I learn. I say, well, Lord, what do we do? What's our wisdom? How do I help? And then sometimes he'll give me something to say. Sometimes he waits a while. But at the right moment, he'll give me what to say. And I say, and I pray that people will receive it. And getting Christian people to receive something is awkward and it's not always easy. Some people feel like you're trying to tell them what to do and they get offended. Sometimes people, I sense that they feel like what you're saying is not important, because some people only receive from people that were predecessors, pastors that they know and they listen to. They understand things a certain way, and they don't want it another way. I know that sounds crazy, but that's what I run into. A Baptist brother want to receive from Baptist preachers that he approves of, that have blessed him in the past. Everybody else is trying to get him off track and confused in his mind. A Methodist brother is the same way. He's on guard. You're not going to baptize me in that water. I've been sprinkled. And I'm talking about the older hardship. People are wiser now. Christians are not used to Christians of other faiths, other denominations. They learn how they think, and they're on defense. They got their boxing gloves on. They got their arms in the guard position when you speak. You can sense it. And when people think they know something, that's even worse. They'll start trying to, if you're sharing something that God put on your heart, they'll turn around and try to teach you something else, as if it's a competition. So you run into that problem. But if people ever learn to listen and then judge, then we can get somewhere. And if they got the right problem, they will. If they've been around you, they know your lifestyle, that's the icebreaker. You can't just go and start teaching a person and you're a stranger, unless God set it up for you. And when I had to go to churches, he would give me a writing, and a lot of the things that were in that message was in my writing that I wrote at home in my own handwriting. I didn't type it. They know I wrote it because it's my handwriting. It was written with my pen. Nobody typed this and gave it to me to give them. I didn't know how they teach. I didn't know what their message was, but that happened often. But that gave them a reference. And when I give them the paper, they read it, and then they know what they preached. And they have to decide. They know that God gave me this. And he was already trying to get their attention. Then he sent me. And my pastor said they knew you were coming. Yeah, I believe that too, because I told him about that. He said they knew you were coming, and they did. But nevertheless, getting a point across is not always easy. Now, if it was a word that talked about people being blessed, oh yeah, they received that. But if it was a rebuke, and sometimes it was, it made them think. But just because God loves us, don't think that he's not angry with things that we do. Both are true. He loves us. He loved us enough to die for us. He loved us enough to send the Holy Spirit to guide us. He loved us enough to give us his word, the fivefold ministry, raise up people to get our attention. He loved us. And then when we sin, he's angry. And when we get off track, he's angry. When we put other things before him, he's angry. When we put people before him, our wives, our children, he's angry. When we put doctrine ahead of him, he's angry. Because it causes problems. And my heart goes out to pastors that really want to do a great work for God. Well, guess what? You're in good shape. Do what you can do. People don't always get on board with the vision you have like you want them to, but they will get on board with it. Keep doing what you're doing. And God will give you new people that will do things that's necessary. Everybody can't do everything, but they can do something. And people learn at different speeds, different rates. So when you feel trapped, like you're trying to go somewhere and people ain't going, you're not trapped. All you have to do is go in God's presence and get His wisdom, and He'll show you the opportunities that already exist. See, you can't always do it the way you used to. You have to do it another way. And there are so many other ways of doing things. And it's still going to be an asset and a blessing to what you're already doing. God has the answers that you want. I don't. But He does. And He will train you and help you get the point over to people, to key people. And the key people are going to come. The more faithful you are, you attract the Lord. And when you're faithful with His people that are contrary, and you help them go forward anyway, He's going to give you people that are more like Him. He'll trust you with people that will follow Him. And then you're going to have, at first, you're going to have to be very patient with them. But when they get what they need from you, they're going to be an asset. That's just the way it works. And they'll, you know, you're going to re- I learned this. This is a lifestyle. It's not going to happen in 1 year. It's not going to be at all like you think. It's going to be our best option is to follow God. And He'll help us our lives to graduate and grow from glory to glory. And He'll show you options that are already there in front of you. You just don't see them. Golden opportunities are always there with us. But we don't see them. They're not detectable. They're invisible to us. But when you hang with the Lord, when you're in His presence, saying, Lord, what opportunities do I have that I don't see? What should I do? What's my best wisdom for today? Present your case to God. What is it that you want from Him? How do you want it to be? You want to start a revival. You want a revival life. Okay, fine. Go ask God, how do I get that revival life? What do I do? What do I change? What am I not seeing? And just listen and be quiet and pay attention. And then the Lord's going to speak. Now, if He tell you to do something He told you to do a long time ago, that's why it's not happening. Go back and start doing what He told you a long time ago. Or whatever He tell you. And it's gonna start a process. And you can do greater works. Jesus promised us that if we bear fruit, He'll purge us, that we'll bring forth more fruit. And the reason I say that golden opportunity, we have them every day and all day, every day, the Lord pointed some things out for me. He told me about this. And from that time, I learned if you want to make great changes, you change what you do every day. You change a few things that you do every day. All right, at work, for example, I had downtime sometimes. And I got ASC study books, and I got information of classes that I went to. Now, if you don't do knowledge is mechanic work, automotive mechanic work and truck mechanic work is like playing basketball. You know, when Michael Jordan retired and went and played baseball and came back, he wasn't half as good as he was. Or he wasn't as good as he was before he left. Because it's a practice. Well, different mechanics specialize in different areas. They are drivability mechanics. They do tune-ups. They make sure the engine runs right. Then you have general mechanics like me. I fix everything. Then you have front-end mechanics. They concentrate on the front end. And then you have maintenance mechanics. They do oil changes, brakes, things like that. So when I would study my books in my downtime, if I'm sleepy, it's harder to do, but I've had my books in a drawer at work, and when I have downtime, I study them. And it helped me in business. That's a choice that I had to make to do better. I tried to get other mechanics that always come and ask questions. I said, study my books over there. And they won't do. They go. They get their cell phone and watch a movie. A movie at work. But they always run into trouble, and they come and ask. They won't read. They're missing out on a golden opportunity that's going to save them money and help them make money for their family. But they go watch a movie. And the boss know it. You know, when you have downtime, you kind of like a fireman. You waiting on the fire. The firemen watch movies too. But when the bell ring, they gone. They get up. That's all right. Well, mechanics are the same way. When we have downtime, first we're supposed to clean our area up, and then we just wait on something to come in. But use the time that God, don't mark time. Use it wisely. And it will be a golden opportunity. And we all have options. We just have to capitalize on them. Sometimes it's just the little things that you could be learning that'll make the greatest difference in your life. Now, whatever you give to God, God can multiply it and give it back to you. And the things that He will alert you to will make the difference. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus Christ is our Lord. And He's never out of options.